Many of you know that we've kind of been in a journey when it comes to the scriptures and our messages through the Old Testament with characters who encountered God and God changed their lives. And last Sunday, we were talking about the children of Israel as they were right on the verge of going into the land that God promised them. And then they began to listen to all the people who said, "We can't. We can't do this." And as a result, it kind of spread, and it became one of those things that everybody, you know how negatives can become so contagious? It became contagious, and they decided not to go in to the land that God had promised them. And so a whole generation of people had to wait before maybe they would get another opportunity to go into the land that God promised them. And finally, along came Joshua. Joshua is one of those 12 spies, but he was one of those who said, "You know what? If God said we can, we will, and we can." And so God chose Joshua to be the one who would follow Moses as the leader of the people. And today we're going to be in the book of Joshua. And one of the things it talks about in Joshua chapter 1 is that as Joshua is now taking leadership in place of Moses, the Lord continues to remind him, "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you." Aren't you glad that God gives us his presence and his power to help us be able to do whatever he calls us to do? And so he says to Joshua, who must have been scared to death to follow someone like Moses, but God says, "You don't have to fear, because I'm with you just like I was with Moses. And God will be with us." And so God was there with them. And finally, it came the time when they decided they were going to finally go in to the land that God had promised them all along. And so today we're going to be in Joshua 3 and chapter 4. And Pastor Kari is going to kind of bring us home in chapter 4, but I'm going to just kind of get us started when it comes to what it takes to finally go into the land that God promised, or what does it take to finally experience what God wants for us. And the first thing I want to highlight comes from verse 5 of chapter 3, Joshua 3, verse 5, where they had to consecrate themselves. It says, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Now, consecration means basically you got to be fully committed. You can't be half-hearted. You can't just go partway and then decide to turn around again. If you're going to go and experience all that God promised, you have to go all in. That's why even in baptism, you know, this immersion, you're all in. And each of them shared the testimony. They are all in with God. And so it takes being committed. It takes being consecrated to him. The second thing I'm going to highlight in chapter 3 is this. They have to take the step. You can't just think about it. You can't just talk about it. You have to actually literally take the step. And so also in chapter 3, part of the story of these people going into the promised land is that there is a river between them and the promised land. It's the Jordan River. And isn't it interesting how God decides to lead these people into the land that he promised to them when the river's at its highest and most dangerous? I mean, why didn't he just wait until it was easy to cross? We know how even, our muddy fork out here once in a while has a little water running through it, right? But there are times when the Jordan River is pretty low and fairly easy to cross, but God decided it was time to go and take the promise when the river's at flood stage and it's dangerous. The priests would be the ones leading the way, carrying the ark that had the Ten Commandments in it and had the manna in it and the reminders of how God had provided for them in the past. But they had to take the first step into that water. They had to get their feet wet before anything else could happen. Notice in verse 13, chapter 3, it says, "As soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord set foot in the Jordan, Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. As soon as they put their feet in, in fact, verse 15 tells us, as soon as their feet touched the water's edge, the water stopped flowing in the Jordan River. I wonder if some of us miss out on all that God wants for us because we're afraid to take the next step and get our feet wet. We're afraid to take the plunge like some just here today did, to say, I'm all in with this thing, and I'll even get my feet into that flooded Jordan River. Are we willing to take the step? The third thing that's part of experiencing all the promises of God is that when you finally get to the point where you're going to be committed fully to doing it, and then you're going to take the steps to do it, then you just watch God and see what He does. They basically had to take their hands off and trust that once they took the step, that God would do what He promised. And He did. And it says that they walked through on dry ground. It says that everybody, and there were millions, a couple million people, who ended up going through that Jordan River basin, walking through on dry ground. All because, first of all, they were committed. Secondly, they took the step. And thirdly, they watched God. They just observed what God did, because it's always a God thing, isn't it, essentially? It's not what we do, it's what God does for us and in us and even through us. And so that's the beginning. But now Pastor Kari is going to come and kind of take us home and help us to see the rest of the story.
So real quickly, I just want to ask you guys to close your eyes for a second. Kids, some of you were given a coloring sheet of this story, so if you want to look at that for a second. But I just want us to imagine this story. Like, can you just see it in your mind for a minute? Because we read about it in the Bible, and maybe you've heard this story before, but really just imagine it. Imagine what it would have been like to be there. And think a little bit about what the people of God had experienced up to this point. And now they get to this river, and it's at its most dangerous point, the Bible tells us. And they do take that step. They get their feet wet. And then just picture in your mind what that next picture looks like when the waters part and the people can walk through. You can open your eyes. We've heard a story similar to this not too long ago under the leadership of Moses, right? When people crossed the Red Sea and the waters split and the people walked through on dry ground. Like, can you just imagine for a second how cool that would be? To be part of something like that. And the truth is, when we journey with God, we go on all kinds of adventures. And He does all kinds of really big and cool and awesome things in our lives. I was just on a fall retreat last weekend with 18 of our teenagers. And I'm telling you what, God did some awesome, awesome things on that retreat. But here's the problem. We're people, and awesome and cool things happen all the time, but then we kind of forget about them. So kids, I want to talk to you for a second. So kids, let me see you for a second. And I just want to ask, do your moms and dads ever forget anything? Ever? Kids, if you're in the room, can you just raise your hand for me if your mom and dad has ever forgotten anything that's like maybe a little bit important? Have they ever forgotten to sign a paper that was supposed to go with you to school? Or have they ever forgotten to give you some information that you needed to go through your day? Or have any of them ever forgotten you anywhere? Sometimes that happens, right? They don't mean to. They're just moms and dads. They're not perfect either, right? All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Now look at your moms and dads for this next one. Adults in the room, do your kids ever forget anything? Can anyone raise their hands and say, yes, my child, I'm an adult child, and I know if my parents were here, they would still be raising their hands, right? And now let's all just admit it. Do we forget things? Yes. We are a forgetful people. And there's actually this psalm that I want to read. In Psalm 105 and 106, the psalmist goes through and just kind of talks about all the things that God had done. All the really cool things that he did under the leadership of Abraham and through all the way through Moses and when they crossed the sea on dry land and all this really cool stuff. And so they get done talking about all of those awesome miracles that God did for his people. And then we get to Psalm 106, verse 13, and it says, "But they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his plan to unfold." And we kind of know that that's what happens in the story of God, is that a lot of times people forget. And just like we forget things every day, like where our shoes are or where our keys are or what we're supposed to do that day, sometimes we even forget the big, cool, awesome things that God does for us. And so as this story continues in chapter 4, it says, starting in verse 1, it says, "When the whole nation, all the people, when all the people had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12, I can read, up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.'" So the whole nation gets across the Jordan River. And then God says, "All right, get 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them to get a stone and tell them to bring this stone and to put it right where the priests are standing." And you know what that was supposed to do, friends? To help them remember. A little later on in verse 6, it says, "It's to serve as a sign among you." And I love this part, and I love that we're reading this on a family worship day, because listen to these words. "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Say that word with me. Just repeat, memorial. Memorial. We are to set up a memorial, which is a fancy word of saying a way to remember what God has done. Because God knows that we are a forgetful people. And so he says, "Get the stones, come and put them right in this spot, and you'll remember. You'll remember what I did for you." And the Bible tells us, from that point on, people would pass by those stones and they would remember what God has done. And so today, we want to take some time to remember. We want to take some time to really think about what God has done in our lives. If you were a teen and you were on that retreat last weekend, think back on what God told you and how it has affected your life. If any of us have ever been on a retreat like that, or in some cool, awesome service where we heard from the Lord, or maybe you were just alone in your car driving somewhere and God spoke a word to you, just think about it. Just remember it. Preschool and kindergarten friends, think about what you've been learning on Sunday mornings in your class. And let's take time to remember what God has done for us. You know, later on, many, many, many years later, when Jesus was with his disciples, right before he went and died on the cross and then was resurrected, he had this meal with his disciples, and he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you." And he took a cup and he said, "This represents my blood that's going to shed for you." And then he says, "Eat and drink and remember what it is that I do for you." All through Scripture, there's this pattern where God says to us, "Remember what I'm doing for you. Remember what I've done for you." The three who were baptized today, you're going to remember what God did for you today. Let's all take a minute to remember, if we have been baptized, if we've made these big decisions for the Lord and we've seen the work in his life, remember, remember, remember. And the reason that God keeps repeating that to us is because we tend to be a forgetful people. And so this morning, we're going to close our service by giving you guys some time to remember what it is that God has done. And we're going to go back and we're going to think about what he did for his people in the Old Testament. We're going to think about what he did through Jesus when Jesus died on the cross for us. And we're going to think about our timeline, our life timeline, and what God has done. And we're going to keep hearing those words, remember, remember, remember. And so if my friends who were given the baskets of Sharpies could go ahead and start passing those out, we're going to make sure that maybe every row of people has like two Sharpies. Does that work? Does that make sense? Awesome. All right, we're going to give you some Sharpies. And on your way in this morning, you were given a stone, a small stone. All right, and if you don't have one, we have more. So just slip your hand up and we'll make sure you get one. But in these next few minutes, we're going to give you a chance to talk with the people around you, your families or your friends. Or if you just want it to be between you and God, that's fine too. But just hear those words repeat, remember, remember, remember. And then we're going to give you a chance to write down on these stones a few of the things that God has done for you in your life. Maybe you want to write a very specific event, a very specific moment when God healed somebody that you were praying for, or God brought your family to church, and that's when your church journey began. Or maybe you want to write words like God's faithfulness, or God has been good, or God has loved me so, so much. But on these stones, you're going to write words that will help you to remember what God has done. And then you will take that stone with you, and I challenge you to put it somewhere where you'll see it every day so that you hear those words, remember, remember, remember what God has done. And then after you've been given a chance to work and to write on these stones, you will come and you will receive the bread and the juice. And once again, the bread represents the body that was broken when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the cup represents the blood that was shed when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he says the words, do this to remember me. But what's awesome is that next week is Advent, and so we're also kind of looking forward. We're remembering what God has done so that we can live in the power of his death and his resurrection and take one step forward into the future that he has for us. And as we celebrate Advent next week, and as we think about what Jesus did for us when he came as a child, and as he grew to be a man who died on the cross for our sin, remembering what he did when we take these elements gives us the power to remember and then to live into what he is doing in our lives. And so remembering the past so that we can take that power with us into our future and into our present. And that is what we're going to be doing. And so there's going to be music that plays. And again, you're going to work with your families or work with the people around you and just share the stories of what God has done. And if you want to write something on that stone, you can. And then you'll take that stone with you. And when you're done, you'll come up and you'll receive the communion. And you'll break off a piece of the bread and you'll dip it into the cup, and then you can go ahead and take those right then. Pastor Kayla and Pastor Gary and I will be at the three different stations. So when you see us and when you're ready, you may come and you may receive communion as a way to remember and also as a way to continue to live into the power of his death and resurrection. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for waking each of us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us to this place. Thank you for Ethan and for Matt and for Michelle, Lord, and for the decision that they made to tell our church family today that you have been working in their hearts and that they want to follow you. Help us to remember the decisions that we made to follow you. God, thank you so much for being such a big God who does big, strong, mighty, powerful things, like lead a whole nation through this river that was at its most dangerous point, but you did it, God. And then you told your people to do something so that they would remember it. And so today, Lord, in these next several minutes, help us to just remember. Take us back to what you've done in our lives. As we take these stones and as they represent the stones that were in the story this morning, Lord, and as we write on them, help us to remember what you've done. Help parents in these moments to tell their children what God has done so that we can pass on the stories to the next generations, Lord. And then, God, as we come to the table and as we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us when he died on the cross, help us to remember who you are and what you've done so that we can take these elements and live into the power of your death and your resurrection and take a step into tomorrow, knowing that you're good, knowing that you're faithful, and knowing that you are with us all the days of our lives. We love you, Lord, and we just give these next several moments to you. And in your name we pray. Amen. So at this time,